upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and so forth, and so forth. Verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. All right, now let's look in chapter 2 at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And look at verse 18. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Notice, not a helpmate, but the words are a help suitable, fitting, meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heaven and brought them unto the man to see what he would call them. The last part of verse 20. But for man there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And the man said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, another verse or two. Look over at chapter 4. Keep in mind what I read in chapter 3. And then in chapter 4, look at verse 23. And Lamech said unto his wives, and now chapter 6. Chapter 6, look at verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the ground, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. Now that's all that I'm going to read for now. What is so thrilling about the book of Genesis is that, as its name implies, it is a book of Genesis, a book of beginning. You wonder where musical instruments came from. You wonder where people that know how to farm the land, take care of sheep, all of these people that specialize in certain areas come from. Well, you turn to the book of Genesis, and God tells us where these things came from. And you see today men and women living as husband and wife, and you and I, looking for a divine explanation, wonder where it all began. And it's not as the world says, that man eventually, when he became civilized, instituted marriage, whereas before there was no such thing as marriage. This is wrong, and we are told that marriage began with the very first two human beings that God ever made. That's the marvel. And so it's nothing that man invented. It is something that God instituted. And I could have taken time to read more verses in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, but as we go along, we'll find these verses eventually in the will of God. But the important thing is to see that God is he who ordained marriage. Now, why did he not, as with the animals, simply create animals, male and female, and let nature take its course. Because you are not an animal, that is why. You, though much like an animal, have this special designation. You are created in the image and likeness of God, and no animal is created that way. An animal is not morally responsible to God. It doesn't say concerning animals, it's appointed unto them once to die and after that the judgment. When an animal dies, that's the end. If there were any moral responsibility in an animal, we could not kill an animal. We could not eat an animal. But there is moral responsibility in man. And so man did not create an abundance of men and women and then simply let nature take its course. But God, in the beginning, created man, and he instituted marriage. And so it all began with him. It was God's idea. Remember that. That's what's so special. It began in Genesis before sin entered the world, and it all originated in the mind of God. It has nothing to do with man's making. Now, I want you to see that as in so many areas of the Bible, the Lord will tell us the same event in different chapters of the Bible. He will give us a general description in one chapter, and then he will give us specific details in another. And so if you look for man getting married in Genesis chapter 1, you'll find nothing at all about it. You find no sequence. It simply says that male and female created he them. And so you would say, why, then he made them both at one time the same way. No. What you have to do when you read the Bible is to read it as a whole. If you read Genesis 1 and divorce it from Genesis chapter 2, you won't understand. And if you read Genesis 2 and do not know Genesis 1, you will not know the complete story. But we are simply told that we are created in the image and likeness of God in Genesis chapter 1. And then we are told how God looked upon all his creation, all things that he had made. And he said, it is good, it is good, it is very good. But he looked at man who was by himself and he said, it is not good. And so God, who had made male and female for the birds and for the beasts and for the fishes, looked at man who was male and there was no female. And he said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help suitable for him. The word helpmeet is not helpmate. You are not my mate in marriage. You are my mate. But this isn't what it's talking about. It is a helpmeet. Just as a bull and a cow correspond to one another, and just like a rooster and a hen correspond to one another, so a man and a woman in a far more elevated way, two creatures in the image and likeness of God, they correspond to one another. And God himself said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him and help meet for him, suitable, fitted for him. And this is what God did. And what I am telling you is not a myth. It is not something that man, desiring to pass on folklore to his descendants, said, I will put down this story because I really don't know how marriage came about and where man and woman are being together came from, and so I will invent the story. The Lord Jesus, again and again, points to creation in Genesis. And in Matthew chapter 19 and in Mark chapter 10, he specifically points to these very words of Scripture that I read you. In Genesis chapter 2, he said, God created them from the beginning, and he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus believed in the book of Genesis? Because I believe in it. And I would believe in it no matter if it had not been recorded, because the Savior believed in every part of the Old Testament. But not every part of the Old Testament is quoted by our Savior, but this part is. And so it is as if God said, now there are special parts of the Word that men are going to attack. Son, I want you to quote those very parts of Scripture. Jonah and the great fish, the Lord Jesus quoted that. Solomon in all his glory, the Lord Jesus quoted that. And so these parts that you say, is God giving us a fairy tale, some myth? He is giving us history. What I read to you tonight is history, and the Lord Jesus accepts it as history, and the Apostle Paul and Peter, all of the writers that we have anything recorded about these things, accept it as historical fact. And therefore, marriage is not something that was ordained of man or thought out by man, but before man ever realized it, God saw certain things that were needed in his life. And he said, you need an help meet for you. And so God himself prepared that help meet for him. All right. Why I'm dwelling upon Genesis 1 and 2 is there are distinct parts in the Bible, and I want you to remember this. There is mankind in the book of Genesis before sin entered into the world. Keep that in mind. There is man in the book of Genesis after sin entered into the world. And then there is man in the book of Exodus and onward until Christ came. In the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, under the law until Christ came. And inasmuch as that's so, you're liable to be reading one part of Genesis and see about marriage and man and wife. And then you read in another part of Genesis and read about man and his wives and wonder about it. And then you come to the book of Exodus and the rest of the Old Testament and read about man and marriage and divorce and wonder about it. But the Lord Jesus, when he was asked about this, and in the will of God, we'll get to that eventually, not tonight, but eventually. When the Lord Jesus was asked about it, he said this, and I want you to read it. Yes, I'll read it now. Turn to Mark 10. Don't leave Genesis. You can find it easily. But turn to Mark 10, because I want you to see the words of the Lord Jesus when he was asked about this very thing. Mark chapter 10, verse 2. And there came unto him Pharisees and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, trying him, tempting him, putting him to the test? And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. But Jesus said unto them, for your hardness of heart he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of the creation, male and female made he them. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, and so forth. Notice, what I want to bring to your attention tonight is this. He said, yes, Moses let you have a bill of divorcement, but he did it because of your hardness of heart. And I want you to understand that this is not the ideal, the Savior says. From the beginning, it was not so. Verse 6, the beginning of creation, male and female made he them. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Do you see what the Savior has done? The Savior is not quoting from Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 6. The Savior is quoting from Genesis chapter 2, the beginning. That is the ideal. That is the pattern. And even though man over the ages has departed from it, the Lord Jesus brings him up sharply and says, you are talking about what Moses allowed you to do. Yes, he allowed you to do it because of your hardness of heart. He said, but from the beginning, it was not so. And then he reinstitutes what God had stated at the beginning. And that is what is so essential. that we are not to look throughout the Word of God and say, well, I think my attitude toward marriage shall be that of Genesis chapter 4. Here is a man that had two wives. And then I think that my attitude toward marriage shall be that of Deuteronomy 24. A man may divorce his wife. The Lord Jesus said, your attitude toward marriage should be Genesis chapter 2. It says, God created them male and female, and he joined them together. He said, that should be your attitude. And what has happened is this, that the world, with all of its programming, with all of its conditioning, has taken our minds away from Genesis 2 and has put our minds on Genesis 4, a multiplicity of wives, and has put our minds upon Deuteronomy chapter 24, getting rid of wives if we don't like them. And the Lord Jesus said, stop thinking that way and get back to it was not so from the beginning. And so God says, the pattern for us as Christians is not Genesis 4 and 6. It is not Deuteronomy 24. It is Genesis chapter 2. And that is something so essential that if man could grasp it, he would forget about all of the loopholes and of all the expedients that he uses for separating himself from what was laid down by God in the Garden of Eden before sin entered into the world. Think on that. Now, understand exactly what God did when he saw it was not good for man to be alone. Exactly what God did and how he did it. He let man look at all of the animals, and man had perception. He saw that a cow and a bull should go together, and a rooster and a hen should go together. And when God would bring him any creature, Adam would look at it and say, why, of course, why, these are the characteristics of this animal. You are a bull. And he would look at its corresponding mate, and he would say, you are a cow. He could see that. He saw the design of God in nature, and he could name that. And what is so delightful is this, that whereas he had looked at all of these animals, and it never entered his mind that he was to cohabit or be joined in any way to these animals, God, when he brought a woman to him, he awoke out of his sleep, and just as he had seen the fitness in the animal creation, male and female, he said, why, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. You see the beautiful perception that man had. He said, look at this beautiful gift that God has brought me. Why, it was not good that I should be alone. Why, I was incomplete, and God brought me this woman. And he understood it perfectly, that a woman was what he needed. All right, if this is so, let me ask you a question. Did God bring him a beast? You say, no, because had he brought a beast, he would have been bestial. Did he bring him another man? You say, no, he would have been homosexual. Did he bring him two or more women? You say, no, he would have been polygamous. Well, what did he do? He brought him a woman, a female, and Adam looked at it and he said, of course. This is exactly how things should be. And the world has become aberrant. The world has become confused. The world is filled with blindness when it thinks that bestiality and homosexuality and polygamy ever were intended by God or were to be tolerated by God. All of these things are confusion, and it is a deplorable state when a Christian even allows his mind to dwell on these things. The Savior says, from the beginning of the creation, it has not been so. If you want to see how things should be and how they can be by the grace of God, look back to Genesis chapter 2. You say, why? Of course. And this is the way that God did things. God created this woman, and she brought him to Adam, and Adam called her woman. Now, let me tell you this. about the name that he called her. If you speak of the word etymology, it means the derivation of a word. What is its root meaning? Where did it come from? Well, the word man, Adam, speaks of Adam as of the dust, of the clay of the earth. But the word man and woman that Adam uses, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, that is not so easy, but two thoughts are given. It either means that the word ish in the Hebrew means a being that has existence, an extant human being. Or it can mean, you've heard of the word, listen, ish and enosh. Enosh means weak, frail, feeble. In contrast to an omnipotent God, his creature is a frail thing. And so it may mean either frail or it may mean simply an existing human being, a living soul that exists, that is created in the image and likeness of God. We have to understand that's what it is. But whatever the meaning of the word ish is, I take the derivation of the word, and ever so many do, but others would try to find some difficult derivation of it. But he says, a woman shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now listen to these words and you'll see the similarity. The word for man is ish, and the word for woman is isha. And he says, I am man, and woman was taken out of man. And in the Bible, you do not find husbands and wives, you find man and woman. And even today, when I marry people, I still at times say, I pronounce you man and, I could say, woman. Because when you read husband and wife in the New Testament, you are looking at it, and all it says in the Greek is man and woman. And so this is the difference between the way that God has created animals and God has created man. God has made marriage a moral thing, and he has made it something that he instituted, and he says man is morally responsible. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 13. Marriage is honorable in all, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Why? Because man is not an animal that is not responsible for what he does, but man is created in the image and likeness of God, and he is responsible for all the decisions that he makes. And therefore, if he does these things contrary to God's will, if the word whoremongers is fornicators, and the word whoremongers and adulterers, they are those who break the marriage covenant, God says that those who are guilty of sex before marriage, he's going to judge them, and those that are guilty of sex after marriage with an unlawful partner, he's going to judge them. Man is morally responsible for what he does. And so Adam was delighted, was perfectly satisfied with the woman that God chose for him, built for him, and I thought of this, and I'll put it out now. When Adam awakes from that sleep, and you realize that I was told that chloroform was invented this way, people used to suffer terribly when they had operations. But a man was reading in the Bible and he said, why, when Adam's rib was taken out, he was put to sleep. And he started thinking on that. He said, if men could be put to sleep when they're operated on, that just in passing. But Adam's rib was taken out. Now, I don't know how he did it any more than I know how God took the dust of the earth and formed man out of the dust of the earth. I do not know the process or the act of creation. I simply know that he did it. But I do know this, that when God made woman, it says he built woman out of Adam's rib, then part of Adam's rib was missing. And I thought of this, that Adam could say, do you know where you came from? And he would have to tell her. He said, you came from right here. Come over and see you. And just as you counted ribs, I wonder if that's where that little thing comes from. Count my ribs. Well, she could count his ribs, and she would say, well, there's a space there. There's nothing but flesh there. He would say, that's where you came from. God made you out of that rib. And so someone that's smart says, well then, do men have one rib less than women? No. Because don't you understand that if you have your nose operated on, then your children aren't going to have a nose the way you have. Or if you have other things changed in your body, your children aren't going to be born because of the change that you make. If something is removed, suppose you had ribs removed or a kidney removed or something like that, then when your children are born, are they going to have no kidney? You say, of course not. They'll have a fully developed body. Well, of course. It was just Adam's rib. I mentioned that in passing because some say, well, let me count the ribs and see if one is missing in man. No. You simply pass on all that you were before that rib was taken out. But God takes this as true. And therefore, woman was not created the way that man was. Man was created from the dust of the ground, out of dead earth. And God breathed into that dead earth, made man, the breath of life, and he became a living soul. But Eve was made out of a living part of a man's body. And so she was not made of the dust of the earth. She was made immediately through man. You'll find that eventually in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But man was made out of the dust of the earth. Woman out of man's rib. And when he saw that, he said, how close is the relationship of man and woman? This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She was taken out of me. And so why would not Adam love this woman? She was a part of himself. And so whenever other men and women are brought together, they complement. They make up one another. And so understandable is it, and grasp this, so necessary is it, and as God said, it is not good for man to be alone, so bad is it for man to be alone, that unless you have a special gift from God, the gift of continency, it's spoken of, self-control, in 1 Corinthians 7 and in Matthew 19, some people have this special gift from God to live without a woman. But it's a special gift from God. Understand that. So strong is this original mark of creation upon man that a woman needs man and man needs woman, that unless God gives you a special gift, as he gives a special gift of being an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, or an evangelist, that is a special gift. And so unless God gives a special gift to you, it says you need an helpmeet. And that is why when people take the vow of celibacy and they have not that gift from God, they're sinning. The Bible says it is better for a man to marry than to burn in lust. And you can tell whether you have that gift by your desire for and help meet. If there is no desire, then you can give yourself completely to God. If not, then you are like Adam. It's not good for you to be alone. And you wait upon the Lord, and God will work these things out. Now, let me just mention this. This is how things were before the fall. But once sin enters into the world, changes start taking place. And I will just introduce them tonight. What are the changes? Before, man would look forward to God coming into the garden in the cool of the evening to walk with him, to talk with him. And man and woman were naked and they were unashamed. But immediately when sin comes, they make fig leaves, aprons of fig leaves, and when they hear God, they hide. They are afraid. Those are the marks upon Adam and Eve. But thank God, lust did not come in for other women. But Adam remained the husband of Eve, one wife. But in chapter 4, men had a multiplicity of wives. And then in chapter 6, men went out and they looked upon women and took all that they wanted. It was just lust, the lust of the flesh. And we see that in Genesis 4, the original intention of God was corrupted. And in chapter 6, it became so bad that in that same chapter, God says, the wickedness of man is great upon the earth, and I'm going to send a flood and destroy them all. And so we see how quickly man has gone from monogamy and love and helpmate, or meet corresponding to a partner. We see all of these things changing rapidly. And what shall be the development? Well, We'll have to wait till next week to find out, because the time is gone.
Let us pray.
Our Father, we are thankful that you have not left us to scientists and to philosophers and to psychiatrists who tell us their depraved and their low estimate of marriage. We are thankful that thou hast given us this inspired record telling us how it originated, what its intentions are, how sacred it is. And we pray, our God, that the corruption and the lewdness of the interpretation of marriage and the union of man and woman that the world has brought in upon us shall be washed from our minds by the pureness of the teaching of the Word of God. Let us not look at what happened when sin was in the world, but let us remember what thy Son said, from the beginning it hath not been so. Let us by thy grace go back to the beginning and see how things should be, and then, empowered by thy Spirit, have our relationship to the opposite sex and to one another, our God, as husband and wife, being sacred and being as it was in the beginning. Help us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.